Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, day one of Titans minicamp on the field yesterday. Derrick Henry back on the field. Julio Jones, obviously, on the field as well. What stood out to you in day one on the field for the Titans in minicamp? Day two coming up today. Not going to be a day three on the field, apparently.
That's right. Day three, team bonding in some way would be my guess. Vrabel will talk tomorrow. Today, the coordinators will talk. But first of all, on day one, obviously, you take stock of who isn't there. So I thought maybe A.J. Brown would be out there. He wasn't. Christian Fulton also not. And Fulton had been out there for at least part of OTAs. So, no surprise that like a Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, Tyson Briler, those guys are not out there.
Caleb Farley.
And obviously, Caleb Farley, who's working hard on a program, was in there watching the practice while he worked in the workout room. Monty Rice, another guy who had been out there but wasn't this week. And then Jayon Brown had been out there, too. So, you know, sometimes it's just... I mean, you're not going to mess around with the slightest of things for these things. But you did get to see some Derrick Henry and some Julio Jones on the field at the same time. And even at one point, Julio Jones lining up to play corner against Derrick Henry, flanked out as they were kind of messing around at the goal line. That was not an actual team period, by the way. I'm not giving away any state secrets here where Derrick Henry is splitting out to the left and –
or Julio Jones is playing corner.
I mean, think about Julio Jones as a corner, though. You know, 6'3", with that kind of length.
I mean, if you're trying to defend like a Hail Mary at the end of the game, maybe not a bad idea.
I bet you he's been out there.
I bet he's done that before, right?
I'm sure he has. Falcons fans, let us know. I'm sure Julio Jones has been on Hail Mary defense. But, yeah, he looked kind of good. But a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of individual drills. And most of what you're seeing is, you know, obviously pass-related stuff. The run game is not really a factor here when people are in shorts and shells. But you got to see a lot of – I definitely noticed like a Janoris Jenkins yesterday. I mean, he was very aggressive. He is kind of Malcolm Butler-ish in his approach. You know, and just the various corners – going in and out, you get to see, you know, Borders and Chris Jackson and some of these guys, along with, you know, Elijah Molden, a guy who, you know, looks the part. I did notice Dylan Raydunz yesterday. You know, I got asked, like, the whole question, like, who's going to be the one at right tackle? If Kendall Lamb weren't the starter right now, that would be shocking. I mean, like, right now, if the Titans played a game today, you know, I think it's a no-brainer that Kendall Lamb would be your starting right tackle.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point. You draft someone, you need to go through all this stuff and the mini camp, and then you need to go through camp and see if they can rise to that level. I mean, Jack Conklin was not the number one at right tackle in his first mini camp as the number 8 overall pick. And then there was a knee injury, and all of a sudden he's in there, and he was going to win the job. But still, like, you don't start that way. But I thought Dylan Raydunz, I mean, he got good reps yesterday, and I thought he just looked to me like he moved well. You know, he moved well laterally and looked the part. So, but, you know, we'll see. It's these things are limited up front. Julio Jones didn't do a ton. You know, wasn't out there a ton in team or anything like that, but he went out and caught a few passes. And a lot of conversations with Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill, too. A lot of, you know, this is their time to try to build that bond. I mean, he's got a great bond with A.J. Brown and Firkser, and now Reynolds and Julio Jones are big priorities on that front.
Well, and Tannehill talked yesterday to the media after practice and spoke about the importance of kind of developing that bond both on the field and off the field with Julio Jones. Here's what Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill had to say.
Hey, Ryan. I'm wondering if you could talk about your impressions of Julio. And I know, you know, I think Rob Moore was saying yesterday that, that maybe it's important for you guys to get to know each other, you know, off the field as well as on. Can you talk about maybe the, you know, the chemistry process also that will take place between you and Julio?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be a learning process both on and off the field, getting to know each other as people, how we function, just how that relationship, you know, fits in. Everyone's a little different. So, just figuring out how we work together, and then obviously getting up to speed on the field. You know, obviously he's the, got a lot of talent and has made a bunch of big plays over the course of his career, but we have to get on the same page and make sure that we're on point with everything we're going to ask him to do here in Tennessee. So excited for that. I'm looking forward to the work it's going to take to get ready to go for Sundays in the fall.
So that was Tannehill on kind of going about the process of building that relationship with Julio Jones. My guess would be, when you're talking about a guy as experienced as Julio Jones is, as talented, quite frankly, as Julio Jones is, I don't anticipate a long learning curve for Tannehill and Julio Jones. I mean, I think some of this is, all right, when I'm in this spot, where do you want the ball to be? I'll put it there. And from Julio Jones' standpoint, where do you need me to be where you're going with the ball in a certain spot over here? I expect two veteran guys like Tannehill and Julio, I don't think it'll take too long for them to develop a chemistry.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, obviously they've both done it a long time, so you would think that would cut down on the time needed. But then again, I mean, Julio Jones has played with one guy his entire career.
Yep.
So that's got to be just one of those things where they, over time, over years, over reps, week after week, that they've really built some things where they – see the same thing, and it, I know it's going to be right here, you know? I mean, the real sharp feel for each other, I don't know how long that takes. But I would agree, it's always good if you've got two veterans who have played at a high level working on that together.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, tight ends, Pinckney, others, how did they look at minicamp?
Yeah, it's a good question. Definitely some... You know, I will tell you, I didn't like notice a ton from Pinckney, but sometimes it's just like the ball is going to different places, you know? I mean, he looks the part out there.
Doesn't it feel like he's kind of put himself behind the eight ball here, though? For really, I mean, look, we don't know why he wasn't at OTAs. Maybe there was something going on, maybe an injury. So, you know, I hate to sit here and totally kind of hammer the guy because I don't know what happened.
Right.
But if it was just as simple as, yeah, I'm not showing up to OTAs, I'll be there at minicamp, I don't think it's a very good decision from Jared Pinckney at this point.
If that's what it was,
yeah,
it's a ridiculous decision. It's stupid. I don't, like you said, could be a nagging thing that kept him out or whatever. Sometimes people just have things going on. Although even if you have things going on, if they're not really, really absolute most important life things going on, I'd get there because – there's no way, if that was just from the Titans' perspective, just a voluntary decision to not go, well, those other guys who were trying to make an NFL roster were there. You know, Briley Moore and Miller Forrestall. And again, to the question of the texter, Briley Moore had at least one play in the pass game where I thought he looked good. You know, he looks a little bit smaller than he's listed to me. Like he was a very good player at Kansas State. I mean, another big thing with him is going to be when the pads go on in camp. You know, I mean, it's a huge thing for all of them. I know that Pinckney certainly has the dimensions. You know, he has the physical ability to be, you know, an inline tight end, but he's got to excel there, of course. And then, you know, the Hassan French, he's, you can't help but notice 40 out there. The basketball player who's getting a shot here, a lot of work with the details on him yesterday. But I mean, it's going to be interesting. He's athletic and big, and this has worked before.
Now I don't know if we can trust your vantage point on tight end size. I mean, you talked about Johnny Smith just dwarfing Anthony Firkser.
But don't you think so too?
I thought so too. But Anthony Firkser is listed at 6'2", 246. Johnny Smith 6'3", 248. You tell me.
That's insane. That means that, like, I mean, like, it's Firkser's.
Here we are again, not Firkser's, giving enough credit to Firkser.
Well, I mean, it's just like they don't look like they're anything close to the same size. Like, is Ferkser's noggin weigh like 100 pounds?
I don't know,
man. He was out there. He looks good, by the way. I mean, we know Anthony Ferkser can go catch the ball. That'll be interesting. Luke Steckel really made the point this week. He's like, I think basically they're both being underrated. Swaim and Ferkser on the other side, the thing that we think is their specialty. So, Ferkser's going to get opportunities, but I at this point, to the questioner again, I wouldn't, like, no one right now, to me, naked eye standing there and trying to watch a whole bunch of different things at once is like standing out. But that position really is, it's kind of like offensive line. I mean, you got to see everything with full pads on. And it's a good thing for the Titans that they do have these three preseason games this year, really.
Yeah.
For stuff like that.
Got to find
also,
a way to...
they need to go get another tight end.
Well, there's...
So let's all keep agreeing on that.
There is that, too. When we come back, Bud Dupree speaking to the media for the first time yesterday since becoming a member of the Titans. Had some interesting comments on his role in the pass rush. We'll get to that next. Also get to our poll question of the day as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.
With that, Bud, how are you recovering? And, you know, do you have an updated timetable yet? And what's your hopes for training camp?
Well, I'm recovering well. I'm on schedule. As far as when they'll let me practice and stuff, I really want to know. It's up to them to, like, decide how they want to do it, how they want to go forth with it. But on my end, I'm doing pretty good and, you know, just taking it day by day, you know, just excited for the season ahead.
That was Bud Dupree, the newest member of the Titans defense, talking yesterday to the media for the first time at minicamp. Now, Bud Dupree not on the field yesterday at minicamp. Still rehabbing from the ACL injury that he sustained last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But as you heard in that clip, Joe, it sounds like Bud Dupree feels good about the way the rehab is going, says it's up to the Titans when he'll be back on the field. Now, to your point earlier, probably would have felt a little bit better if you're a Titans fan where he's just like, oh, yeah, I'll be ready in training camp. Not really the route that Bud Dupree went there, but still, I don't think a cause for concern at this point. To me, like, if he's able to get on the field – halfway through training camp, that's good enough for me. Like, I don't know that I need to see Bud Dupree play in a preseason game. I'll put it that way. I don't know if that serves the Titans any purpose at this point. Just be ready to go by week one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be great for them to get him some reps in a preseason game. But I don't know if Vrabel would want to do that anyway. So, yeah, but certainly practice reps, getting out there. I mean, look, we saw last year with Clowney coming in right at the last minute, you know, and just boom, game one, here we go. It just, I'm not saying that's why he had the season he had or the half season he had, but there's something to be said for some practice.
Yeah.
And some time to acclimate yourself. I mean, it's big for the Titans that Dupree's here right now. He's engaged in this stuff. Yes. As a Titans fan, I'd probably rather hear him say, no one's keeping me off this field. I will be there day one of camp. But he's actually right because he can say he's 100% and be cleared, and the Titans can still be careful, and they may be.
Well, and Bud Dupree was asked yesterday about his role on this team with the pass rush being what it was a year ago. We all know what it was, 19 sacks. Bud Dupree coming in, he's getting paid a lot of money to change the narrative on that front. Do you run the risk of maybe putting too much pressure on yourself if you're Bud Dupree? Here's what Bud Dupree had to say yesterday after minicamp.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team effort, you know, but I'm a big part of that. You know, pressure bursts pipes or pressure creates a diamond. You know, you got to take it at that standpoint. I mean, it's no secret. They got me here for that to help out with the pass rush. And, you know, I put it on my shoulder and I wear that hat while I'm working out in the offseason, while I'm rehabbing right now, getting my knee right. You know, we all know what it is. And that's just part of the business of this game called football. So, you know, I take it upon myself to make sure that I make an impact, and as well as bringing guys up with me, man. You know, the guys who've been here the whole time, as well as, you know, teaching those guys stuff that I learned over the years, and learning stuff from those guys that I may not know. You know, doing different pass rush things along with different trainers and stuff, and just bringing that knowledge to them, and also, you know, if they do something with somebody else, just bring that knowledge together and constantly communicating on how we want to rush and how we want to be the unit. You know, we want to make sure that we define ourselves before the season of what we want to be. And we have a clear vision and a clear goal of what we're working to. And, you know, that'll make things better. And then we'll have a path and we'll have milestones to hit. And that's how you build it.
So that was Bud Dupree yesterday after practice talking about working together as a unit on the pass rush and bringing players along with him. My question would be, with the depth, or in my opinion, lack thereof, at outside linebacker right now for the Titans, is there enough there for Bud Dupree to bring players along with him? If he has a similar season that he's had in Pittsburgh the last couple of years, which is double-digit sacks, he's been impactful in the running game as well, that's great. I mean, if you're the Titans, you signed up for that right now. Is there enough around Bud Dupree to make a significant jump in the sack total? In terms of going from 19, maybe back to the mid-40s, early 50s, somewhere around there in the sack total.
Yeah, so 45 sacks. I have to look at the breakdown. But 45 sacks in 2019, there was not a dominant guy in the bunch. I guess so Landry would have led the team with nine that year? You know, so that was – so if the Titans could have two guys, you know, if both of their edge rushers – had good sack totals and were threats and made you think about helping out an offensive tackle at least. You know, if you're not straight up doubling, at least, oh, we got to chip that guy. Oh, we got to chip this guy. If Landry and Dupree could both be that, well, that would make a big difference. I mean, when have the Titans had that? I guess when they had, like when Arakpo was healthy and Morgan, you know, they had some stretches together where it was a real nice combination. Since then, they have not had that. They have not had that at all. So Landry's a big part of this, and big year for him. Dupree, a lot to prove, a lot on him. I think Dupree is the answer to the poll question that we just, you know, just got retweeted. I think that he is the guy who you most need to have a big year, and I think there will be some level of impact for others as well if he does. And I think he can help those inside guys, and I think those guys, Simmons and Autry, should be able to help him. That's the idea. You know, make it tough for everyone to be blocked and have enough of a threat interior and on the outside that you really affect quarterbacks and just get yourself off the field sometimes on third down.
And that is the subject of today's poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. The big defensive acquisition in the offseason for the Titans. Bud Dupree, the big offensive acquisition, Julio Jones. Of those two additions, who's more important to the success of the 2021 Tennessee Titans? Is it Bud Dupree or is it Julio Jones? 65% say Bud Dupree, 35% going with Julio Jones. So that's not quite as high as you hoped it would be.
I said it should be 80-20, but 65-30, you know, 2-1, that's reasonable. I think it's... I put it this way in a tweet to someone earlier. This can be an excellent offense, even if like Julio Jones isn't healthy, doesn't, you know, is diminished or whatever. It can still be an excellent offense. If Bud Dupree doesn't, and I'm not saying he has to have double-digit sacks, but if Bud Dupree doesn't play and play well and have an impact, I think you're asking for so many other things to work out for this defense to be decent. I mean, one player is one player in football, 11 guys. But I think there's more need for him than for Julio.
If there's not Bud Dupree, what does your pass rush look like right now if you're the Titans? I mean, you've got Simmons and Autry on the inside, but it's Landry, it's Rashad Weaver. What else you got there?
Derek Roberson.
But we saw how that went last year. I mean, there's just not much there. So I agree. I think he's more important to their success. I will say this, though. If Julio Jones plays like the Julio Jones we've seen in the past, I mean, it's just going to be difficult for anybody to stop this offense. I can see the path where Julio ends up being the more important player. I can. I think if your offense is scoring, you know, 35 a game and you're the number one offense in the NFL and Julio's a big part of that, I can see the path where he ends up becoming the more important guy.
Yeah, I mean, if your offense gets to the point where it doesn't matter what your defense does, then, hey.
I mean, they were almost there last year.
True. They went 11-5 with terrible defense.
They were almost there last year, but we also knew in November that they weren't a Super Bowl contender because of the defense, and specifically the pass rush. So I'm with Joe on this. Like, this should be a landslide for Bud Dupree, in my mind. Julio Jones is more of a luxury than a need, and Dupree is 1,000% a need that they've had for years.
See, I agree with that to a certain degree. I mean, Julio Jones certainly more of a luxury than Bud Dupree is, but Julio Jones, to me, was a need. Josh Reynolds is not a number two wide receiver. He's not.
That's true.
So if you have Josh Reynolds as your number two, you say this offense could still be excellent. I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I don't know that Josh Reynolds as a number two on this offense was going to be good enough. Now, you still have Tannehill. You still have Henry. You still have A.J. Brown. So there are foundational pieces there that you feel great about. But I do think bringing in another wide receiver, maybe not necessarily to the degree of Julio Jones, but bringing in a legitimate number two guy was a need for this Titans offense.
So you're just going to ignore Nick Westbrook-Akina, huh?
I was.
Not apologizing. Still not apologizing, PK. I don't think it was a need. I disagree with you. I'm not saying that Josh Reynolds is an absolute two. We'll see with Josh Reynolds. I think Josh Reynolds is like, what's the gap between Corey Davis and Josh Reynolds? I don't think it's that big. We'll see. Corey Davis with the Jets, and he's going to have a different role. And it's going to be harder to see with Josh Reynolds now. You know, I mean,
the salary difference at the moment is pretty big.
It is, but we know how that goes,
yes.
Too.
Oh, yes.
This is kind of a different twist on the question. If the question was, who would you, as a Titans fan, pick to have their career year?
Yeah.
Because, like, so, Julio Jones or Bud Dupree? So, Julio Jones has, like, 1,900 yards. And like, when you think of it that way, then I can't in my mind imagine how it's not the best offense in the NFL, you know?
Well, I agree.
So, in that way, maybe it's just too good to care about the – but it's like last year, I think you're right, Porth, we thought, okay, it's just – you have to have more balance in that. If last year's team was a very good offense and an average defense, I think everybody would have felt better about 11-5 than they did. They didn't feel probably good enough about 11-5 and winning the division because you had a great offense and a terrible defense.
Yep.
I think you do have to have like some kind of balance because at some point – both sides are going to have to play a huge role in winning a huge game.
Well, we knew last year. I mean, we knew halfway through last year, as good as that offense is, I mean, the defense just doesn't give you much of a chance to make a Super Bowl run. Like, if you're giving up 35 a game and you're giving up 55% of your third downs, like, eventually that's going to catch up with you. So that's got to get better this year. Bud Dupree, I agree with you. He's going to have to be a bigger part of that because if he's not, I mean, where's the pass rush going to come from if you're the Titans?
So what about that particular question? Okay, so the Julio Jones stats, outrageous, right? I mean, what? My gosh, what would that mean? But like, Bud Dupree has 15 sacks.
I'd take Dupree, but, I mean, I don't think Julio Jones has to have a career year.
No. I'm just saying if that was the choice, and you don't know any other information, your choice is Bud Dupree has 15 sacks or Julio Jones has, like, 1,900 yards receiving.
I'm going Dupree.
You can go Dupree?
Yeah.
I think as a media person, I'm going Julio Jones because cover a bunch of 48, 45 games and, it might be like an all-time offense.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Taking a look at the secondary as well. Gotten pretty young at corner. What does that mean for the Titans as they head into the season? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville in downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Done any axe throwing?
I have.
How'd you do?
I mean, it was on target. I didn't hit like the center bullseye every time, but it's pretty easy.
You were not here that morning when Big Joe came out, right?
No, I was not. Is that when Chase McKay participated?
It was me. Was I the only one?
No, Chase absolutely partook in that.
Okay, well, I wasn't out there when he did.
It's probably great for
I'm
your
guessing
safety.
I did better than Chase.
You were on before 6 a.m., and then Chase was on like once or twice in the 6 a.m. hour.
Okay. Who did better?
You.
I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
Although there's not much more room to talk now that Chase
That's true.
Has,
it's been
you know, he's sunk a goalie goal.
It's been a heck of a week athletically for Chase McKay.
He wasn't embarrassingly bad at Topgolf.
I know.
He's starting to turn the corner here. He's entering his athletic prime.
According to Porth, apparently a 30-yard putt sunk by Chase McCabe last week.
From the rough?
From the rough. Putting it from the rough. Bold move by Chase McCabe, but it works out.
How many shots to get to the rough?
Well, that's a good question.
That is an unknown.
Did he play 18?
Oh, yeah.
Over or under 170 for his score?
Over.
Okay.
That's a long round.
Over under 17.5 balls lost.
Oh, I'd be over
in
that
round.
Yeah.
You'd be over that?
I'm a big-time loser of a golf ball.
Slicer?
A lot of slice on this shot here.
Yeah, me too.
Too much baseball in my swing, it doesn't go well.
You don't have the patience for golf.
I don't. You're correct.
We got to get hoops going.
Yeah, we do. See if we can get that figured out here on the show as well.
Maybe Chase, you're invited.
Maybe a Robbie and Rex Road pickup basketball game with our listeners as well.
We're going to make it a regular thing, though.
We can see how that happens.
Oh, yeah, with listeners? Yeah. Any of you guys want to hoop, let us know.
On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter, Ben B., texting in. If Bud Dupree is having a career year, then wouldn't that give Julio more opportunities on the field the other way? I would say yes.
Okay.
Does that mean that Julio has a career year as well, if Bud Dupree has a career year?
Well, again, part of like this whole exercise is, it like because in the NFL, what is the injury rate?
100%.
Oh, it's 100%. So part of this exercise is...
Is that true?
I mean, one of the Titans' two kickers is hurt right now.
That's
so
true.
Pretty much. I mean, there may be the occasional like backup long snapper who doesn't get hurt. But part of the answer is then knowing that that person's on the field all year, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bud Dupree may do that, and then Julio may be out. So that's the part of these hypotheticals that you have to keep in mind.
Wow, way to bring that down.
Sorry. I'm just saying. Like, if someone's having a career year, that gives me assurance that that person is on the field, which is a big deal.
So speaking of the Titans defense, we've talked about how important Bud Dupree is going to be on that front, but obviously a lot of changeover on the secondary front as well. Now, you mentioned Christian Fulton not out there yesterday. Obviously, Caleb Farley has not been out there yet either. Elijah Molden has been. Janoris Jenkins out there yesterday as well. What do you make of this new look Titans secondary, particularly at the cornerback position, and how much optimism should you have if you're a Titans fan that maybe this could be an improved secondary when everything is said and done this year?
I mean, so the thing is, it's okay, is it going to be improved from when we're out there watching like Jonathan Joseph just go turnstile all day?
I mean, I would hope so.
I would say yes. I think you got a good chance at that. Is this a better secondary than a secondary that would have included Adoree Jackson, a healthy Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Desmond King? I think that's a tall order. And I think, look, I think Adoree Jackson is a loss, but that's what happened. You know, Butler and Jackson both out. To me, it's a big leap to go to this group. And we, of course, haven't seen Caleb Farley, and he's going to help answer that to a large extent. But I will say, just on what has been out there, first of all, like Janoris Jenkins, I think he is definitely going to be a Malcolm Butler-like presence for this team. And, you know, it's interesting, another kind of like small school Alabama guy, North Alabama, had to fight to be in this league. And Anthony Midgett was talking about that the other day, about, you know, sometimes that route to be in the league helps a guy stay in a league because you have to go the extra mile. He's aggressive. He's I think that had to be the hardest hit I've ever seen in an OT or a mini camp yesterday. I gotta make sure I get it right on who. Yeah. Mekhi Sargent took a little swing. And a lot of these plays, like if it's like you watch these plays and these with shorts practices, and you're like, man, if this was actual football, that quarterback just got his guy crushed.
Yeah.
Hey, like Janoris Jenkins actually came up and gave him a pretty good pop. I was like, hey, easy now, easy. But he was all over the place. He had PBUs, and he was aggressive. And I like what I see from him. I like what I see from Molden, too. I mean, I think Molden is – I like the pick from the start. I haven't seen or heard anything since then that makes me like it any less. But Fulton, huge, huge deal. How good is he? I don't know. Farley, obviously, big deal. Now, they do – I would say that yesterday, one thing that came to mind as I'm watching it is, like, Chris Jackson to me looks like a guy who – he's another guy. He's going to have to fight to stay on rosters in this league. He's a versatile guy. I think it was a good late pick for the Titans. I mean, he had to be a starter for several games last year.
I mean, of the draft picks – it was up there in terms of the success rate last year.
I mean, he overachieved as a draft pick. Who else from that draft class could you say that about?
Nobody. But
I will say yesterday, even like watching like he and Byard talk and stuff like that, he's a nice guy to have around. He's a nice depth guy. Shouldn't forget about him because these depth guys typically come into play at some point. And Borders. I mean, those guys are – like I feel like their cornerback depth – is maybe a little bit underrated. It's still going to come down to the quarterback top of the depth chart that's going to tell a lot of the story. But at least those guys can be serviceable. I mean, I feel better about Breon Borders or Chris Jackson than a second of Jonathan Joseph or Kevin Johnson, frankly. I mean, that whole Kevin Johnson thing is weird. They sign him, and then I guess, but does he think he's going to be a starter? And then it's like,
I don't know.
But he's out of there, and it saves him money. And that would not have been good based on what I've seen of that guy.
Yeah, it's not been good. I mean, I don't know if I expected him to retire, but it's not. He's 28. Now he'll be 29 in August. But, yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. Do we know anything more on that?
No, that's a good question, and that's another thing. It's like with Pinckney, like, it just looks like a dumb decision, but you don't know, like, everything that may have been going on. So, I don't know. But when I saw that, I was like, I'm just, like, obviously the corner, you know, the room has changed a lot since he signed. Now, he had to have expected that to some extent too, right? I mean, he knew they were going to draft at least one corner, but I don't know. I mean, I would – based on what that guy has done in the NFL, I think he easily could have been – behind Borders and Jackson.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, don't forget the 23 games the top four corners will miss. This is a prediction made by Ben like 5 weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
23 games missed for the top four corners. That's a very specific number, and that's a lot of games.
That is. That'd be a big number.
If that happens, probably not in good shape for the Titans defense.
Probably not. And, you know, like, what if, like, a bunch of those are Caleb Farley, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? The way things are set up, they are set up that he needs to play and
play well.
Play well, yeah.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD text again. Julio takes some of the load off of Henry, I would think. Anything we can do to get more time out of Derrick Henry? We've seen the last 2 years. I think it would make the most of his impact long-term based on the identity of this team. So what do you think of Julio coming in, taking the load off of Derrick Henry, and kind of extending the version of Derrick Henry we've seen the last couple of years for longer heading into the future?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think that it's more about what it does for you at the end of a given year. Of course, the best football we've seen from Derrick Henry was at the end of the 2019 season when he got a ton of work and he looked like he was the freshest guy in the field. So, but still, I would feel better going into the playoffs after Derrick Henry had 320 carries than 440 carries or whatever, right? So, is that going to really extend the years on his career? I don't know. Maybe, but. I think you have to look at Derrick Henry right now, even though there's no indication that he's slowing down anytime soon. But I think you have to look at it and think about it in about a 2 year window and see where you are. He's got the deal goes three more. So I mean, maybe that extends it longer on the back end. I think it's more about getting the most out of a given season with them.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans and look at two maybe underrated position battles on the Titans as well. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I just played the video of Peyton Manning and Tony Vitello on the Tennessee Baseball Twitter account.
Yeah.
With Peyton screaming Omaha. Does that count as mute?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
God dang it. If you haven't seen it, check it out on Tennessee Baseball's Twitter account. Nice video between Peyton Manning and Tony Vitello.
It's very good.
Omaha.
It's very good.
There you go.
Gotta
make
Omaha!
Sure, gotta say it from the diaphragm.
Omaha!
There you go.
Nice.
I've been waiting to use that all week.
Well, there you go.
We're
giving you the opportunity here today on the show. Joe, a couple of underrated matchups and or position battles at Titans minicamp, Titans training camp is, of course, at kicker, but also the backup quarterback competition as well. Let's start on the kicking front because we've talked about this for a while. Don't really know who in the world is going to be kicking field goals for this team once the season starts. Maybe Steven Goskowski is still an option. Maybe it's Tucker McCann. Maybe it's Hobble. Am I saying that right?
Hobble.
Blake Hobble. Hobble.
Blake Hobble.
Go. What did you notice yesterday from the kicking at Titans minicamp?
Well, Hallbill was not there, so some sort of injury.
Over one.
Yeah, he did have some injuries with Ohio State, but he was not there, so it was all McCann. They did have a period of kicking, and I would say it's all right.
Encouraging.
I'm sure like Jimmy Wyatt's got like the whole breakdown of yardage and but you know it's just. In those situations, I want to see it right down the middle. And he had one that definitely sliced on him. I believe he missed it. Although I've been wrong about that, too. I actually even moved myself to right the straight-on view from the other end zone, and I've been wrong before about whether the ball snuck in or not, but it was not a good kick. He had some others that most of them were fine. But I think Tucker McCann is their guy to compete with who they want to be the kicker. So is that Hobble? I don't know. We'll find more about him during camp, and then I still think that the name Goskowski may come into play.
If you're a Titans fan, would you be comfortable with Goskowski? Like if we told you right now that Steven Goskowski was going to be your kicker, would you be comfortable? I mean, I fired him halfway through the season last year.
Yeah.
Ever since that point, he started to play pretty well.
Yeah, he was pretty – I mean, the way he finished, I'd feel better about that than anything else, than McCann or the rookie. And I said, hey, sometimes that happens. A rookie comes in, and now you just found your long-term kicker.
And so, that is a part of this, too. Like, at some point, you need to find your guy. Like, you can't be going through him every year where you're just finding a new kicker at that point.
Right, you don't want to be in a position where you spend a third-round pick and a kicker, which I can never imagine John Robinson doing. But it's a big thing. So Hobble, I mean, if he comes in and he's absolutely much better than McCann and is consistent, maybe you feel better about that. You get him some preseason games, get some pressure kicks in there, and it starts to look different. But right now, I would feel way better about Goskowski than – anything else that they have available to them.
So what do you think about the backup quarterback competition between Deshaun Kizer, best friend of Robbie Stanley, also teammate on the softball field, Deshaun Kizer.
That's right.
And Logan Woodside. How close do you think this competition is? Do you think anybody has the edge right now in the backup quarterback competition?
I disagree with TD at my peril on Football Matters. I usually agree with everything he sees, but – I don't think, like right now, I would not be comfortable saying Deshaun Kizer is going to be the two. I think it's a good competition. Again, look, there's just a massive gap from Tannehill to either of those two guys.
Sure.
But the last two times, I feel like – now, Kizer had one really good throw yesterday. And, I mean, he's got ability, no question. But Woodside had some good moments, too. I feel like it's very close. Seems like Woodside – just like got more reps yesterday, but I don't think there's much separation at all. I really don't. And it's good for the Titans to have some kind of a battle there. You want anything you can do in any position to increase performance and urgency, and it's going to be close, I think.
So if it's close, if there's not much separation, and that kind of continues to be the case, you going with DeShone Kizer, who's actually taking some snaps in the NFL, or you going with Logan Woodside, who serves as a backup last year in this system?
I think if it's close to the point where Kizer, and I think he's going to have to step up and play better, I think I would go with Kizer. And I, just because I still think there's a higher ceiling there than with Woodside. And I know it's like this constant thing with Woodside, like, oh, Trevor Siemian, hey, Logan, thanks for playing. Well, yeah. He was just flat out better than him. So he will continue to be underrated probably, but I think that Kizer has a little bit higher potential in this league than Woodside does.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sonny texting in, any update on Rashad Weaver?
Well, if that's a question on like the legal situation, no. I mean, there's a appearance, I believe, in October. So, I mean, it's until then, it's not. I mean, it's not going to impact like his availability or anything like that. So, I would not expect that to be a factor in terms of him being available. As far as him playing, I don't have a lot right now.
This is another position. Especially in minicamp, it's pretty difficult to get a read on the outside linebackers when you're not hitting each other. I mean, it's just that's the name of the game in football, especially on the line of scrimmage.
Right. Now, if Dupree were out there right now, I'd still be looking at his moves, sure. And things. And they still – the tackles and the outside backers still work against each other. But, yeah, not a ton right now. I'll try to look more closely.
We'll see if you can do that today.
I will. Maybe I'll even take some video.
Had some good video yesterday, too. Good to know that Derrick Henry can still run the ball. The last day of on-the-field action for Titans minicamp. Then we hit kind of the true dead period of the offseason where not much is going on. Training camp comes back up in a few weeks. And then it's go time. We're closer than we think to full-time NFL football coming back.
I mean, basically, am I correct in my math that it's 5 weeks? 5 weeks from like Friday, I think?
Yeah.
Or Thursday or Friday is the start of camp, right?
5 weeks, is it?
Am I wrong?
Maybe 6 weeks. 5 to 6 weeks.
I mean, it's July 27th. So Friday will be the 18th.
Yeah, that might be 5 weeks.
Elijah, are you good at math?
Do you have any update?
Help
Elijah?
Us out. He's just shaking his head.
On how many weeks we are away from
regardless.
Here you go, Joe. You can open your calendar on your phone, on your iPhone 4,
yeah.
And
oh, wow.
And what count the amount of weeks it is from this Friday to that Friday.
It's not. I mean, the thing is, it's not that far from my iPhone 4, and I'd be totally comfortable if I had an iPhone 4.
Would you be comfortable if you had a flip phone?
No. I miss my BlackBerry, though. Okay, I'm doing this.
Is it 5 or 6?
Dang it. I'm right, it's 5.
Okay, there you go.
I will not
good
apologize.
Job.
5
good
weeks
job.
Away from training camp.
Happy for you.
Joe Rexroad, you're going to be out the rest of the week, heading off to the great state of Michigan.
We have a child to deliver to a camp, and I'm going to try to get a hoops game going.
There you go. Very nice.
An old school hoops game up at Michigan State.
Well, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, gone for a couple days.
David Beauclair going to join us the next 2 days here on the show. Looking forward to that coming up the next couple of days. Rex Road, hope you have a good time on a brief little getaway with the family.
Thank you. See you guys next week.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us
Behave.
Today. We'll see what we can do on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be back 6 a.m. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.